Welcome back, friends. All right, we stopped off with our scripture with an analogy to the library, at the library card. Then once you're in the library, right, you decide what you're going to be interested in, right? You kind of have an idea. Now, sometimes you can go in and just browse, and that's fine. I know sometimes some Christians will just get in the habit of just, I'm going to read scripture today, and they just crack it open. Mm-hmm. And they do it the next day, and they crack it open, and they do it the next day, they crack it open. Right, we're back to that good library patron. Some of that's fine, but really to get the most out of the library, they're going to want to actually have some sense of what they're doing. You know, do they want to get a sense of how God works in history? Or do they want to get, when we go into the Psalms, the Psalms are almost like an everyman. We'll get into Athanasius' thoughts here as we get to it. But that's his concept. You go, that could be me. That could be me. That could be
that. Yeah. Related, kind of the general universal relatability of it.
That's right. That's right. And then, of course, libraries have librarians. And that could be a good commentary. So let's have some demos. We have commentaries, a nice Protestant one. When I was studying Paul at a Catholic, and it was a Catholic graduate school, all our works were Protestant. Like, here's another good commentary, and these would be in the show notes, but. You could consider that as the librarian to help guide the soul, person to those topics, or if you're unsure of something like that.
There's so many like directional resources out there.
There are, and take advantage of them.
Yeah.
We're going to look at Psalms 15. That's part of David's Lamentations. And I was reviewing my notes. I saw I didn't have a good definition of lamentation. Right? I was using a term, but I hadn't defined it. And, that was out of Scott Hahn. But then, you know, you can bring it up online, too. There's really good commentaries online.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally, when we're got a good book, we're at the library, you know, those little slips of paper with pencils to take notes. It's my opinion, but it's more than take notes, be interactive with this. And it become a, you know, over time, and you'll go back to the same place and you'll see your notes, and you're not going to have to dig that furrow again because you just put a few little ideas, it triggers whatever.
Yeah.
And it's just wonderful. And then, you know, and over the deck.
There's just endless correlations, too, that once you begin to dig into it more, and then that's what's so beautiful about the person of Jesus Christ, is it offers this lens to read the rest of the Bible through, where things that used to not make sense to me in the Old Testament have this total revival, sort of, where they become so much more clear when I look at it through the lens of God came fully God.
Yeah. What Mike is exactly pointing to, walking with God. This is a narrative look of reading scripture. So, right, there's all kinds of programs to read scripture with a variety of perspectives. Yeah. But there is a beautiful way. I have Ted and I, Nicole, I mean, the kids, all of our, I just finished up another course of looking at the narrative books of scripture strung together. So there's 13 of them that cover the timeline. Of course, most in the Old Testament, starting with Genesis and ending with Acts. And you can, all of the other books get routed into that, I call it a skeleton. This is how God really has acted through history with his people, with the kings, with the prophets, with Abraham and the three covenantal promises, with Noah, the promise there with Noah, the covenant with Adam and Eve, and that is, of course, not in chronological order, all the way to the founding of the church, of course, culminating in Christ, which is one of the senses of scripture that we'll touch on. But that is huge. That is huge to know, like, where do Psalms fit, or Proverbs, or, yes.
All of it.
It's all.
Yeah, there's nothing's wasted in it. You know, there's, because I think so often people will read the Bible without any context or idea of, you know, the larger story, and they'll totally miss what's being communicated because they just don't have the appropriate contextual idea or understanding.
That's right. I just pulled it. I have the Bible timeline. And let's see. We have notes, and then we have the Holy Spirit directing us. So right, it shows the different time periods.
Oh, wow.
And it goes and up to the judges, and then here we go. Then we have the purple is the royal kingdom. Of course, black is the divided, sad, exile, baby blue. So these are the different segments. But you're right. People can, oftentimes they get excited. They want to read. They start with Genesis. They know, Exodus. And then all of a sudden they hit Leviticus and the wheels start to fall off.
Yeah.
Right. And so with go back to the librarian idea. Okay. I want to, whatever topic, you can do the same thing in a library. Cause that's happened to me. You go, oh my gosh, there's so much. Where do I do? I just want this piece. And that's where good commentary, good Bible aids can really help get rid of some of that angst that a lot of, not first timers, but those who preach scripture maybe not realizing.
Yeah. And it can, it's a confusing book sometimes.
Yes. You know? Yes. Because it's not
a mystery.
In a global sense, It does have some sort of chronology because we start at the beginning and we end at it. You know, we started Genesis, but some of those books are in there like that. They're not necessarily put in there with when they were written.
Right.
And they're put in there by size or important, you know, the major prophets and minor prophets. That's because of the size of the book. It's not because necessarily the importance of the individual.
Right.
Right. And that's true with the epistles. With Paul's corpus, that's how that's laid out. So it can be confusing, but that's why we're here. That's why we're having a little conversation so that, we can take a little of that out and we get you on your way with our support.
It speaks to the mysticism of this belief system alone, I think, in some ways, where this book is just so full of endless treasure, you know, and it's like this mystery novel almost that never ends, that we're invited to even participate in, not just read like a school book, you know, but it becomes an actual the marrow of life in a way, you know, because it gives such an in-depth explanation for why things are the way that they are and the redemption of humanity, you know?
Oh, that is absolutely true. We did this back the first time, and we met Jeff Cavins and Tim Gray back when we were in Maryland. They helped to put this all together. We're talking 20, 25 years ago. we have been through this with all of the children. We've helped to teach it. I was just in another. And I tell you, every time, you would think that I've done this about 5 or 6 times, and you would think that, oh, there's not, how much more can yeah. you do? And I can tell you, oh my gosh, I had to get another Bible, which I will show you on the next episode if you need. I mean,
you've only scratched the surface.
Only scratched the surface.
Yeah.
Only scratched the surface. God is so good. He cannot be outdone in generosity. Yeah. All right, my friends, we will pick up at the next episode. Till then, fides et ratio.